Hi guys, I'm Stephen Scott and I just thought I'd pop onto the podcast to say hello and to thank you for your continued listening to the Tech Talk programme. It's an honour to be doing this every week and, you know, Sean and I have such great fun. For a little treat and a little gift back to you, we thought we'd give you the chance to listen to the very first episode as it was broadcast in full on what was Insight Radio before it became RNIB Connect Radio. So enjoy the very first Tech Talk show broadcast on the 14th of February, Valentine's Day, back in 2012.
Tech Talk,
the accessible technology show.
RNIB's Insight Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the first Tech Talk show on RNIB's Insight Radio, the first technology show on UK radio to be all about gadgets and gizmos for people with visual impairments. Now, on this week's show, we are celebrating St. Valentine's Day with a very special love theme. But instead of red roses and luscious boxes of chocolate, we are more interested in entangled USB cables and a loving embrace of our sexy smartphones. Yes, we'll be talking about gadgets we've quite simply fallen in love with. Shall we meet our panel?
Hello, I'm Leonie Watson, from Bristol.
Hi, I'm Robin Spinks, originally from Edinburgh, but living in London.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wasmer. I'm originally from Toronto and living in London.
Looking forward to chatting with you all, but let's find out what else is coming up this hour. I've been finding out all about a fantastic little device that helps you label stuff up at home. It's not too expensive either. Got a can of beans in the cupboard, but because you're blind, you don't know which one it is? Well, use the RNIB Pen Friend. More details coming up on that. Also, Rich Legate will join us with the latest news from App World. It's all we hear about these days, but did you know that there are lots of apps out there that can help you if you are visually impaired? Rich has news on a few. And Steve Powell has all the tech news, including the latest on a merger which could mean easier access to computer speech software such as JAWS or magnification software such as Zoom Text. And get a note taker or a friend with a pen handy, as I'll have some very important dates for your diary as we look at some of the big tech events coming up in the next few weeks for visually impaired people. But first on Tech Talk, do you have a big idea that you just wish you knew how to develop further? Could you be the next big thing in inventing? Now, British inventions are some of the greatest in the world, but what life-changing inventions are still to be discovered or are just a figment of someone's imagination? Well, TV presenter and technology expert Pollyanna Woodward is launching Eon Innovation, a nationwide challenge to find budding inventors from across the country to help create the next generation of energy products and services. The top ideas will be transformed by experts and made into reality. Joining me to talk about this exciting initiative are Gadget Show TV presenter Pollyanna Woodward. Hi, Pollyanna.
Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
And energy expert and green queen Emma Bradshaw from Eon's here as well. Hi, Emma.
Hello.
Now, Pollyanna, let me start with you. Why are you backing this initiative?
I love the fact that we are giving the public an opportunity to give us their ideas. A lot of us will have eureka moments where we just think, oh, imagine life if we had that, or that would be perfect to make my life easier if I could just add this to that. We're giving the public an opportunity to come with those ideas and possibly make them into a reality, rather than going through the whole rigmarole of having prototypes and having to expend any kind of money to make their product. You give us the idea and we'll see if we can actually make it with you and for you.
Brilliant. Now, to make this easier, you've created five separate categories for people to submit their entries into. Can we talk a bit about those?
We have indeed. The first category that we're working on this week is rest. The other four are work, play, well-being and food. So to start with, we're looking for ideas or gadgets, technology that could maybe control lighting or temperature or humidity, fragrancing. All of those kind of ideas to do with rest and kind of calm serenity.
Now, Emma Bradshaw, the Green Queen, is with us here from Eon as well. Emma, first of all, where does that title come from?
You should see her. She's quite a funny shade of green.
Now, there's lots of talk at the moment about cutting down on our energy consumption, Emma. Perhaps this is obviously one of the ways that there could be a good basis of someone's idea.
Absolutely. And we want everybody to sort of harness their thinking power and get onto the website and discuss with the rest of the community around how we can look to save energy and therefore money, and think about the other gadgets that we've not yet discovered that could help us to do just that. And some of the inspiration that you'll see if you go onto the website will be on there. And you can also look at have a look at the programme Home of the Future on Channel 4 that we are working with for some gadget ideas.
So you can have an idea even at a very early stage. It doesn't have to be developed to any degree, because your experts will deal with that.
Absolutely. And you can also discuss on the community, and other people will kind of build on it, and then you can build on that and then see what happens.
Now, Pollyanna, you could win some good prizes as well. I like prizes. And if you're successful, there are some really good ones.
There really are, because there's five different themes that we're working on. The best submission for each one of the themes in the challenge will win a home energy makeover worth up to £2,000, which is fantastic. Wow. However, one of the five winners will be selected to receive what we're calling the Shining Star Award. So it is kind of like the top idea that we've had. And that'll increase their prize to a home energy makeover worth up to £10,000.
That's all right, isn't it?
A bit of all right. That's brilliant. I wouldn't mind that.
When does the competition close?
Competition closes on the 9th of April. The themes will be staggered over the few weeks. So this week we're kind of looking at rest, and then it will move on to either work, play, well-being or food. And the winner will be announced around June the 25th.
Okay, and where can we get more information on it if people want to take part?
Absolutely. Well, if you have an idea or you want to go and have a nosy at other people's ideas, you can just go to eon-innovation.com and submit your idea in just writing form. But like you said, it doesn't have to be really comprehensive. Just give us a basic idea and we'll see if we can work with it.
And no stealing other ideas?
No, absolutely not.
No, definitely don't want that. Pollyanna Woodward and Green Queen herself, Emma Bradshaw from Eon, thank you for joining us on Inside Radio.
Thank you, Stephen. Take care.
Tech Talk.
The Accessible Technology Show.
RNIB's Inside Radio.
My love, there's only you in my life, the only thing that's right.
Now we're talking today about love. Yeah, well, it's Valentine's Day, and with me is Leonie Watson, we've got Sandy Wasma, and we've also got Robin Spinks as well. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Before we get into the gadgets, do we all consider ourselves to be quite romantic people?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Pretty much.
You could sound a bit more convincing. You don't sound very convincing about that.
I don't really do Valentine's Day, actually, I must admit. Not for me. I'm a kind of love every day person, not just Valentine's Day.
I'm with Leonie. Well, Leonie and I are kind of, but Leonie, I'm sorry to say this, but we're geeks and we're kind of not girls that way. So I think, you know, we're a little more pragmatic than your average girl.
I notice Robin's keeping quiet.
Well, I think that someone's already said it. I think it's love every day, as Leonie says. That's the way. Aww. So I basically, yeah. But romantic, try to hide it, yeah, but it always comes out in one way or another.
Well, I think Sandy hit the nail on the head. You know, we are a bunch of geeks and we do enjoy our technology. So I thought, how fitting would it be on Valentine's Day to talk about technology we've fallen in love with? So I want to start with Leonie. I've asked each of you individually to come up with two separate pieces of kit. Now, it can be anything at all. It could be anything from a magnifying glass to the top of the range computer. What have you picked out, Leonie, as your first item that you're absolutely in love with?
It's my Victor Reader Stream audiobook player, which I quite simply could not live without. I'd be utterly, utterly lost if I didn't have it with me.
Okay, so explain what the Victor Reader Stream is for people who don't have a clue.
It's just a very small, very compact audio book player. So you can chuck Daisy books from the RNIB talking library onto it. You can put books from the Audible website onto it. You can play MP3s. And you can also look at documents like Word files and text files on it as well. So it's absolutely brilliant. And you can stack loads and loads of books on it. So I think on mine, I've probably got about 20 books, onto it now. So, it's just really convenient. Yeah, just a great bit of kit.
Are you totally blind, Leonie?
I am, yes. Can't see a thing.
Okay, so the Kindle and things like that would be out for you?
Mm-hmm, for the time being, until they get a bit better on the accessibility front.
It's quite a big piece of kit, though, isn't it, the Victor Reader?
No, this is the stream, so it's little. It's about the size of a pack of playing cards, I guess.
Right, so this isn't the one. There was a bigger one, wasn't there? There was one that was a bit like, it looked like a door entry system, from what I remember. And it was a huge thing, and I thought, why would you carry that about with you? But this is a smaller thing, okay.
Yeah, it's about the size of a pack of playing cards, a fat iPhone, something like that. So yeah, you can chuck it in a pocket or a bag really easily.
Lots of buttons on it, or is it quite easy to use? Is it quite intuitive when you get hold of it?
It's got quite a few buttons, but they're pretty well laid out, and tactile is really good. So, you know, going backwards and forwards, they're little triangular buttons pointing in the direction you'd expect, and play button in the middle. Actually, I lent mine to my mum not long ago, who's sighted, but she was poorly and you know, just wanted to be able to listen to a book, and she totally doesn't do technology at all, and she was up and running with it in, you know, 5 minutes flat. So yeah, I think it's pretty usable.
So it's that's a piece of kit that you would probably class as, you know, quite specific for the blind community, mm-hmm. wouldn't you? You would probably say that's the Blindy World stuff. You've picked something else. Is that from Blindy World as well, or is that from the other world?
It's about as far removed from Blindy World as you can get. It's my Alienware laptop.
Wow.
Which is, Alienware is a range owned by Dell, actually designed for gamers, video gamers. So that's what I mean by as far away from Blindy World as you probably expect to get. Reason I love it is because it's the one I've got is about the size of a netbook, so it's small, but it's more powerful than my desktop computer.
And do you use speech software on that, like JAWS?
Yeah, it's running Windows 7, so I've got JAWS and NVDA, which are my two usual speech technologies.
I mean, when it comes to computers, and Robin Spinks will bite me up on this one, you know, why don't you have a Mac?
I'm a dangerous territory here, because I know those two are serious Mac heads, so I'm in trouble now. I have an iPhone, actually, and I really do love it, but I'm just at home with Windows and PCs. I guess I'm happy enough with technology that they don't really ever kind of give me any grief, so I don't mind the odd kind of hiccup with it. JAWS is still a kind of more capable screen reader than VoiceOver is, you know, professionally. So for using stuff like Microsoft Project for kind of, you know, running, you know, project planning and kind of stuff like that, there isn't really support on the Mac platform for those kind of technologies just yet. So for a whole bunch of reasons, it still just works better for me at the moment.
Okay. Well, you are in a bit of a minority here, because it's 3-1 in regards to Mac versus PC in this room, I have to say. Robin, I know you're a big Mac fan, so I'm guessing that your first choice will probably be something Apple-related.
I think it might have to be my iPad 2.
Yeah.
Actually, for people who are not familiar with the iPad, it's a tablet computer, 9.7-inch screen. It's very thin, so you can put it in a shoulder bag or backpack, and it takes up practically no space, so very lightweight, touch screen based, but it has a built-in screen magnifier and built-in VoiceOver screen reader, very similar to the iPhone and the iPod Touch. So yeah, that's probably one of my top gadgets. I was thinking about it, and I actually got the first iPad when it came out, as soon as it came out, in 2010. And then I completely fell for it, hook, line, and sinker, and bought the second one when it came out. And I've actually used it every day since it came out, which is pretty amazing. So it's probably become my go-to device for web browsing and for email, showing people photographs, appreciating, or not, as the case may be, my own photography when I put it up on screen and pinch it up and have a look. So anyone who's got low vision who likes taking pictures might be familiar with the challenge that how do you assess your work if you've got to look at it on a really small screen. So what you can do is you can put your photographs quite simply onto your iPad, and you can have a look at them as much bigger pictures. So yeah, really good device. And because everything's built in, the magnification and the screen reader is built in, it's just easy. You know, I think you know, Leonie is absolutely right when it comes to pro users, you know, using screen readers. I think products like JAWS are still in many ways unrivaled for lots of pro uses. But, you know, if you want to just use it for browsing the web and for reading email and so on, it's really good.
So, okay, the iPad is going to be talked about, you know, by all of us probably at some point throughout the course of the series. But I want to look at your other piece of kit. I'm intrigued by this because I'm hoping it's not Apple. I'm hoping you're going to surprise us.
It's not. No, the second piece of kit actually is made by Bowers & Wilkins, or B&W, and it's called a Zeppelin Air. And just to describe it, it looks like an elongated rugby ball. So if you imagine a rugby ball, slightly elongated, and it's a speaker. It's a wireless speaker which allows you to stream music from your computer or from your iDevice and have it played through the speaker in a really nice quality sound. So one of the things that I've been spent a lot of time looking for was a good, you know, iPod dock or something to plug an iPod into and get a decent quality sound. And actually, that was the best I found at the time. So it's not a cheap piece of kit, but if you were thinking about buying a, you know, a mid-range hi-fi system, it would be comparable to that. And it's just really nice quality sound. You can dock your iPod on it, or you can wirelessly stream into it from your computer or from your iPod.
Okay, so you have cheated a little bit. You have connected to an Apple gadget.
As long as you're connecting via iTunes, so it could be software. But I came up with a whole list of others. So those are the two that I put at the top at the moment.
Okay, Sandy, now we're going to talk about yours later, but I just want to get your reaction to what you've heard so far. So we've got the Alienware netbook, we've got the Victor Reader Stream, we've got Robin's iPad, and also his extremely expensive, he gets paid far too much, speaker system. What are you thinking, Sandy? Is that a good list?
It's good. I mean, it's interesting because I know Leonie is a PC/Windows person. It's what you were using, you know, when sight loss happened, or how, you know, it's just sort of what you know, and it's kind of the old adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And, you know, because I've always worked in design and marketing, I've always been a Mac user. And so for me to try to, you know, learn like a completely different system, you know, at this stage as my site degenerates, I think would be really difficult. So I understand like it's about what you feel comfortable with. It's about just, you know, all the different metaphors, all the different buttons and things, you know, just everything about the interface. If you know it and you can use it and you're comfortable with it, why would you want to learn something? You know, it's a huge deal to learn something else, particularly when you're totally blind. So, you know, I understand why people choose what they do. It's not just about the device itself. There are a whole host of other reasons. And of course, I'm with Robin on the iPad too. I did exactly the same as Robin. I got the iPad 1 and the iPad 2 at the same time, probably.
Yeah, I mean, well, we do love our gadgets, and I must say, I wasn't standing in the queue. I know Robin was standing in the queue for an iPad 2. I decided to order it, and it arrived the next day, so I was happy with that. I didn't have to stand out in the cold like he did. But Leonie, I mean, in regards to the stuff you've chosen, I mean, you've chosen the netbook, and a lot of people are talking now about netbooks, especially if they're blind, because they find that, you know, because you don't need to worry about the screen so much, it's not a big deal. So, you know, you can have a very portable computer with all your stuff on it, and it can fit in your bag.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at with it. I don't want to be lugging around another laptop bag with a full-size laptop in. Just want something I can just sling in my shoulder bag and rock and roll with it, really. And I think, you know, I think the iPad gives you kind of a very similar kind of ability. You can bash it in a bag and you're ready to kind of go. So I think increasingly we're going to, you know, this is the way forward. People are going to be looking for stuff that they can just pick up and run with, whatever kind of platform you choose. I think that's the way forward.
I think something that I've learned already on the programme, which I didn't even think about before, was that whole pro-user thing. Because, you know, when I was talking to a Mac user last week, who, you know, huge fan of Mac stuff, and he said to me, Mac stuff's great, and it works great with Mac stuff, but when you add something else to the mix, it's not so good. Whereas JAWS tends to be built for everything that it hits, or at least it will try. Am I right in saying that, Leonie? I mean, it's much better. And let's be honest, I mean, you know, and I feel bad saying this as an Apple fanboy, as everyone knows I am, but, you know, JAWS is okay.
JAWS is okay, you're absolutely right. It's kind of cool to be down on it at the moment, but it's not a bad bit of technology at all. I think what you were saying about, you know, the kind of the flexibility of what you can use JAWS with, you know, versus, you know, the Mac platform is, in some respects, it's both the strength and the weakness of both technologies. So, you know, the beauty of the Mac is that it's a brilliant experience because it's closed shop, basically. Everything kind of passes through Apple's process, and so the experience is very joined up. It's very seamless. It just works, and that's absolutely, you know, the extraordinary thing about what Apple do. On the other hand, you've got the kind of more open, you know, Windows, JAWS, NVDA, whatever your kind of screen reader of choice is. You don't get that necessarily kind of completely joined up experience, but the trade-off is that you get a lot more choice in the software that you can use and the kind of applications and the stuff that you can do. So it's exactly what Sandy was saying. To some extent, it's, you know, what works for you. If you just want to pick up something, do some browsing, you know, nice and easy experience, you know, Mac is absolutely spot on, brilliant. If you're looking for something, you know, with a bit more capability, or, you know, you've got sort of more professional or kind of advanced sort of requirements, then it might be that, you know, Windows kind of JAWS platform is more suitable.
Okay, so I'll open this one out to everybody, because I, just from this conversation, I'm thinking, well, if I was, say, 65 and I was just starting using computers and I've just got into it and, you know, I've just been shown my first computer, I've got a Mac in front of me and I've got a PC in front of me, which one's going to be easier to learn?
A Mac.
I mean, I would say so, but there's also a caveat, because it's not only the computer, it's then, like, generally you go and Leonie will probably just be nodding. You go onto the World Wide Web and, you know, God bless you. You know, it's you know, with so many websites and web applications and things just being so complicated, it's not just the interface, it's actually what you're interacting with and the quality of it, which is generally fairly poor. And, you know, and I think that is the issue. It's not just the interface. It's okay. Yeah, you know, what am I going to use this interface for? And that then becomes the problem. So, it's also who trains you. But I've converted both my parents to Apple, and they're in their 80s. They love, and my dad has an iPad and he just loves it.
What was it like on the first day when you were showing the Mac off and you were saying, okay, this is what I'm going to show you about? You know, what was their instant reaction? Was it, I don't get this, I get it instantly? How did it work?
Well, what happened, I mean, the first time with my dad, we were in Toronto and we were at his country club and we were just all sitting by the pool. And I had my older iPhone, you know, I was listening to music. And my dad was just kind of sitting there and he wanted to sit in the shade and we were on the sun. And I just went over to him with my with the, you know, iPod portion of it and said, you know, here, I've got some lovely jazz that you'd like. Do you want to listen to it? And he said, sure. That's it. And he went out and bought himself one. You know, and so it kind of started from there. Just, you know, there was a purpose rather than here's some technology. So he just, it was like, do you want to listen to some great music? And he sat there, oh Lord, it was so embarrassing, singing like along really loud. And but it was great, because it was a great way to introduce someone to technology when there was a need. It's like, I, you know, here, do you want to listen? Yeah, this is great. And so suddenly, you know, he wanted it. It wasn't like it was being imposed on him. And I think that's also, you know, a lot about with older people using technology. It's well, why do I want to use it? How's it going to make my life better?
I think you've hit the nail on the head with that one, Sandy. So find if you've got a relative or you've got a friend who is older and maybe is interested in using it but isn't really sure what for, find a purpose for it.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. You know, benefits messaging, I think, is the term that the government refers to. So what's it going to do for me? That's the question, really. And I think it's different things for different people, isn't it? Some people will prefer to use something to start off and have their first experience using something like an iPad. But then there are people who will like products like, you know, Dolphin Guide, for example, that creates a really easy user interface for Windows computer. And the key thing really is just to try out all of the options that are available and find the one that works best for you. I mean, a lot of people say to us they like the Apple gadgets because they're very acceptable, because they're mainstream and it's what other people have and that's what they want. That's a massive appeal. But, you know, the other options should really be looked at as well. So different things will work for different people and at different times as well.
Okay, thanks, Robin. Now we'll come back with more talk on gadgets that we've fallen in love with for Valentine's Day. That's coming up a little bit later. But for now, though, it's time to turn to our new regular feature, the Tech Review. And this week I find out about the RNIB Pen Friend. Well, this week I've dropped into RNIB's Resource Centre in Judge Street in London to find out what technology is available out of the box for blind and partially sighted people. And Paul Porter joins me now, RNIB's Technology Officer. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Stephen.
So we're looking at the Pen Friend this week. What is the Pen Friend?
Well, the Pen Friend has been a really successful product, and essentially it's a labelling device. And if I show it to you, it does look a bit like a big stubby pen. It's got a nib at one end and a sort of handle at the other. And basically, I turn the pen friend on and I have some little labels and I touch the nib of the pen to the label.
Testing.
And then another label.
Test pen friend recording.
And so that's my lovely voice there. And what you do with pen friend, it comes with labels. You touch the pen friend to a label, you press a button, touch it to a label, and I'm now going to say test recording for Insight Radio. And then when I touch the pen friend to the label,
and I'm now going to say test recording for Insight Radio.
Okay, so I'm not happy with that, so I'm going to re-record that again. Test label for Insight Radio. And then touch it to a label again.
Test label for Insight Radio.
So when you buy the pen friend, it comes with a selection of labels, varying sizes, round, square, small, large. And you can stick those onto pretty much anything, onto CDs, onto paperwork, onto filing systems, folders, anything you want to, frozen products. And then they're reusable, so you can label something, or what some people do is stick them onto a magnetic disc. So if you have a tin of beans, you can say tin of beans, and then you stick the magnetic label onto the tin. And then when you finish with the tin of beans, when you consume it, you take the label off and stick it onto another tin of beans using a magnetic strip.
So this seems like a really simple piece of technology, but it's so effective, isn't it?
It's very simple. You can have hundreds of labels, and they're reusable. The information is stored on the pen friend itself, so you can reuse the labels. You can also actually put music onto it, but essentially it is a labelling device.
Okay, so it's a labelling device which, as you say, looks like a big stubby pen. You can keep it in the house, you can keep it on you as well, because it's relatively, even though it's quite big, it's still portable.
It is, and some people, you know, it's only limited by people's imagination how they would use it. Some people, I know, they take it out and they've got a little label stuck somewhere, so they just maybe want to take a quick note or jot down someone's phone number or maybe a quick shopping list. They just record it, then they play it back later on and then reuse it again when next time they're out and about. So, you know, it is really limited by your imagination.
So, unlimited labels?
It's not quite that. There's about 8 packs with a couple of hundred labels in each pack at the moment, but we add more packs over the year. So, essentially, it's unlimited, but I think at the moment we've got 8 different packs.
Right, so you could have as many labels around your house if you could have your whole house plastered in labels if you
absolutely
really wanted, telling you the colour of the walls or whatever you wanted. That could all be there. So there's no actual limit to that sense?
No.
Okay, and what about the length of time that you can have per label?
Yeah, it has the total capacity is 70 hours of recording.
70 hours?
Yeah. So, you know,
it's crazy.
You could actually, you do have to keep your finger on the button when you're recording. You know, you could do that. And some people have recorded whole instructions. So if I'm now recording as we're speaking, you know, I could hold my finger on this for as long as I wanted to. It might get a little bit painful because it's, you know, a nice little button.
But this could be good for something like, I don't know, ingredients of a food pack, or it could be, you know, a box of things that you might have and you want to know what's in it. So you could, you know, put a whole load of things in there and label it up.
Yeah, as I say, you know, it really is only limited. I'll take my finger off it now. And then if I play that back.
That's
good, Sona. Recording as we're speaking. You know, I could hold my finger on this for.
So I won't, obviously. I'll shut that up now, but, you know, you could, and we're known people to actually, you know, have whole pages of information, and we have some books that have labels, so you download a file onto your computer, then copy it onto the pen friend, and then when you touch the label in the book, it reads the information to you. So, you know, there's lots of different possibilities.
So you don't have to you don't have to record everything?
No, it's only limited by people's imagination, and it's a simple device. It's only £59 to buy, very, very straightforward. Runs on batteries, you know, change the batteries when it runs out, and you know, it is very simple but very, very effective.
And it's not one of these things that, you know, sometimes if you take the batteries out of something and then you put new batteries in, it forgets everything?
No, it's not. And you can, if you have a computer, you can back up what you've recorded to your computer as well, just in case there is a problem. And then you get a new pen friend and copy the information to the new one, and you've got the same labelling information again.
Unbelievable. So this is available from RNIB?
It's available from RNIB in our resource centres, or you can order it from customer services.
Well, Paul, thank you for that. That's absolutely amazing. That's the Pen Friend we've reviewed here at RNIB's Resource Centre in Judge Street in London. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
You can get involved with everything happening on Tech Talk on our new mini site, insightradio.co.uk. Search for Tech Talk and you can keep up to date with everything that's happening on the show. And you can also follow our conversation on Twitter as well, hashtag Tech Talk at Insight Radio. It's now time for the Tech Talk app review.
And with this week's app news, I'm Rich Legate. Starting off with RNIB's app of the month, which this month is London Live Bus Countdown. Its purpose is to help you find what time your local bus is due, as RNIB's Stephen Griffiths told us.
If you live in London, it's a way that you can look up on your phone and find out what time buses are leaving from particular bus stops for particular routes. So, I mean, the really good thing about it is you could be at home with a bus stop round the corner, it's tipping down with rain, and you can find out what time the next bus is going to arrive, so you can time your arrival at the bus stop just when it gets there.
Now, if you're an iPhone 4S user and have recently been trying to get its personal assistant Siri to help you out, you might have been frustrated by its lack of local business knowledge. Siri is still at an early stage in production and doesn't yet allow searches of companies or local information. However, there is an alternative. Eve is the assistant that can do a lot more, and it's available on any iPhone and Android device. William Tunstall Padoe is from True Knowledge Limited, the company behind Eve. He told us it's a lot better than ever using a standard search engine.
Eve understands what you're saying a lot of the time. One of the big problems that computers have is understanding English, understanding natural language. So search engines typically work by looking at the keywords that you've typed and doing a statistical match between the words and billions of documents, and then giving you a list of documents that may or may not be what you're looking for. And what Eve does is try to understand exactly what you're asking for, and then giving you a concise direct answer straight back that can be spoken.
If you're partially sighted, you might find reading menus or bus timetables a real problem. Well, the solution could just be your iPhone. An app called iLupe works in a similar way to an electronic magnifier. Once the app is loaded, it uses the inbuilt camera to zoom in on selected text, either in a live view or you can take a photo and then zoom in on that, whichever is more convenient. It works on all iPhones, although it's better on the 4S because of the high-spec camera and costs 69 pence. For more details on all of our featured apps, visit the Tech Talk page on insightradio.co.uk. With this week's app news, I'm Rich Legate.
Tech Talk.
The Accessible Technology Show.
RNIB's Insight Radio.
Thanks to Rich for the app news there, and you can find out more on our website, insightradio.co.uk. Search for Tech Talk. Now, joining me today, Robin Spinks, RNIB's Digital Accessibility Manager, Sandy Wasmer from Copious, and Leonie Watson from Nomensa. Thanks for joining us, guys, once again on the first Tech Talk for Valentine's Day. And we're talking about gadgets that we're all in love with. And it's time for Sandy and I to reveal ours. Sandy, I'll let you reveal first.
Because it's Valentine's Day, I think it's appropriate for me to discuss my love of Siri, since I've already confessed my love affair in writing. I bought the iPhone 4 on the day it came out. iPhone 4S on the day it came out, because I really just, you know, wanted to use Siri, and I had the 3G and hadn't upgraded to the 4, so decided it was time to upgrade. And I really love Siri. It definitely, you know, has some issues, but basically it's allowed me to text. It's allowed me to email on the go. So I find it an incredible piece of kit. I couldn't text before, and I hadn't been texting for a couple of years properly, unless I desperately needed to, and it took me like 20 minutes to do a text, which is horrible. So Siri is very good, and it really is pretty accurate. I'm quite impressed. Occasionally, it says some very random things, but basically, it's fairly accurate, and it's really good. And because I'm already a dictate user, I'm not sure though, uses the same technology that Nuance does. And so I understand how to use it, and I understand its little foibles. And so Siri has just been great. But I don't, because in the UK, although people may have seen the ads where you can ask Siri to book a restaurant for you and so on, it doesn't have that facility because it doesn't have businesses in the UK. But I use it basically for texts and emails on the go, and it's really good. Or if I want, you know, actually want to know the weather, ask Siri what the weather is, or, you know, just bits of information, and it's actually really useful. I thought in the beginning I was asking it everything, and it was quite novel. And, you know, it's sort of now sort of settled down, and you know, I tend to use it for bits of information that are native to the iPhone, and then texting and emailing on the go. It's just fantastic. I just was, you know, really not doing it beforehand.
Robin, do you have the iPhone 4S?
I do have the iPhone 4S. Like Sandy, I was on day one. I got up very early and I stood in the queue and
again.
Got the iPhone 4S. And yeah, I feel really positive about it too. I think, as Sandy says, it's got some issues. And of course, it's still only in beta, so that's to be expected. But it's a really amazing little innovation. I mean, I've used it quite a lot to set myself reminders. So to ask Siri to remind me to buy milk on the way home from work when I leave the office, remind me that it's someone's birthday, for example, to set tasks as well, all sorts of stuff, even writing notes, you know, I've been able to use it for that too. And I'm really looking forward to being able to use it for other things when the business search facility does become available. Because I've used that in the States, and it was phenomenal. So I literally stepped outside a hotel and said, find me a Thai restaurant. And I couldn't read any of the notice boards or displays on the street around me. And Siri found me, you know, three Thai restaurants, and I went to the nearest one. And it was really good. So I think really practically helpful for a lot of people with sight problems. And of course, being able to text someone without having to interact with the keyboard is just amazing.
And once you tie all this together with GPS and location technology, and obviously that's what it's using, but being able to then direct you to whatever you want to go, that's when it's all going to change, isn't it? That's when it's going to be a lot easier for a blind person to get about.
I think when it's opened up to app developers, so for example, one of the apps that I use every single day is an app called Train Times. Once Siri is working with that app, you know, that's going to be just transformative, really, because I'm going to be able to say to Siri, I want to travel to, or find me a train to, and not need to interact with the keyboard, even with magnification. So there is the option to be able to have your phone as your personal butler. That's the concept.
I also use Siri for calendaring, and so I'll say, you know, set up an appointment with so-and-so at this time. It sets up the appointment and it sends the person an invite. So it uses iCal, so, you know, not necessarily interoperable with other things, but it's excellent in that way. I did forget that I also use it for calendaring. I mean, I'm still playing around with it because it tends to work best with the native apps sitting within the iPhone. But as Robin said, I just realized that I can't wait to use it when I'm in the States. I'm going to be insanely playing with it, probably.
Yeah,
I'll be just standing outside of places going, tell me where such and such is. It's quite sad.
Now, what's your other piece of technology, Sandy, that you've picked out?
Well, I've had to bump my other piece of technology because Robin said it already. I was going to talk a bit about the iPad too. But
a joint favorite then, yeah?
Well, yeah, you know, I'm, you know, like you guys, I'm an Apple person, so what can I say? But I'm going to talk about something which is very, very new that I've just got, which is my Optilec Farview. Which is I've really just only started using it. I had what was called an Optilec Compact Plus, which is an electronic magnifier. And the Farview is the same. It's an electronic magnifier, but it also has a camera that has storage. I think you can take about 100 pictures. But so as well as doing things close up, it will take photographs of things far. So say you're in a street and, you know, you want to know the street name, or you want to see something, or you want to see, oh, is that the restaurant I'm looking for, or whatever. The Farview, you know, is able to look at it and take a photograph of it. And so you can see it. And what's strange is that I'm not an independent traveler, but I just like to know what's going on around me. And so having the far view and not having to ask people, what's this, what's that, blah, blah. And so I can actually, you know, so as I'm going along, like if I'm walking down a street and I think, well, that's an interesting building, you know, and there's a name of the building, or there's, you know, so I'll take a picture of it and I'll look at it later. Or, you know, so it gives me the visual feedback that other people have as they're kind of walking down the street. If I see something interesting, I just, you know, I'll grab it or I'll look at it then. So I'm really enjoying using it for that purpose, just because it doesn't give me as dynamic an experience as someone walking down the street and being able to see stuff. But, you know, it saves me from, say, having to ask someone to describe something, because they may not describe the parts that I want or whatever. So I'm using it for that purpose, which is, you know, it's just giving me a better feeling of my environment generally. And it makes me feel comfortable. And the other is what I use my Compact Plus for, which is it's only really reading trashy magazines. I'm a girl and I like reading trashy girls magazines, basically.
Fair enough.
And I use it for reading documents, you know, and that's its main purpose. It's a business tool, and I use it because some people still send you hard copy documents, and there's not a lot you can do about that. So, I mean, that's why I have it. That's its main purpose, right? But the pleasure I get out of it, and the reason I love it, is because my husband, bless him, oh, whenever he goes to, you know, the newsagent, he always buys me some really trashy magazines, and I love reading them, and I love looking at, you know, what Hollywood stars look like without their makeup and stuff, because I'm a girl. And so, you know, and I like looking at, like, you know, who the hot couples in Hollywood, thinking about Valentine's Day. So I'm like so happy that my far view, you know, now I can, you know, I can like hone in on it and look at all that fine detail. In the same way Robin is saying he wants to be able to see the detail of photographs. You know, I can't see. So I, you know, look at the magazine and I use the, you know, and everybody laughs at me. Nobody believes I read those kind of magazines because they all think I'm like, I don't know, some serious person or something. So I find it very funny.
Now, in regards to what it looks like or feels like, is it like a camera? Because that's what I'm getting the impression of.
Yeah.
It looks like a bit like a camera.
It's like a camera. I'd say it's, say, twice the size of an iPhone. It's thicker. It's more deeper because it has a camera. I don't really know. And the battery that it has. But it's probably half the weight of the old the other old Optilec. So the Optilec Compact Plus, I had it. I very rarely took it with me because it was so heavy.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I want to take my other tech, this is really light. I mean, I'm amazed at how light it is. So, you know, it's really simple things like that. You know, the technology can be great, but a really simple feature like it's too heavy and I can't carry it with me. You know, so even though I love the Compact Plus and I'm using the far view for the same purposes in terms of looking at documents, I take it with me more now because it's light, because it doesn't weigh down my bag. And it's amazing how a tiny feature like that can, you know, completely ruin a great piece of technology. I think, you know, for people who are partially sighted or have low vision, you know, want to still read or look at text or magazines and things like that. I mean, I find it to be invaluable. I don't know what I'd do without it. Like, I take it to restaurants and look at menus so that, you know, so I don't have to ask people. And that's the thing. I rarely took my other Optilec, and I'd always have to ask people to read me menus. So now I'm going to take my Farview.
You can be independent with it, and you can use it on your own when you want, and, you know, you don't have to rely on other people. That can only be good. Okay, do you want to know mine?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Now, take a wild guess at the first product that I'll go for.
Definitely. iPad.
iPad's a good shout, but it's very close, Leonie. But in fact, it's the MacBook Air, which I've chosen. Robin's going to pipe up in any second now, I think. I just love it because one of the great things, it kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier, Leonie, about portable computing. And, you know, in your case, you don't need the big screen with the, you know, the fancy graphics and all that stuff. But I like to have it. But I need portability as well. So, you know, if I'm on planes and I want to use the computer, I want to be able to use it, but I don't want to have to do that thing that I always had to do when I was at school, when I'd started using this technology, and this maybe gives my age away. But, you know, you were leaning over the computer, you were, you know, screwing up your eyes, trying to see the screen. You would end up like almost like a hunchback at the end of it. Whereas now, with the Apple, and, you know, you can argue back and forward about Zoom Text and JAWS and Apple and its options. But for me, Apple's Zoom really just makes it possible for me to use a laptop again,
Robin, I know you're a big fan of these kind of things, so tell me your thoughts on that.
It's very thin. It's very, very thin. In fact, if it was any thinner, it would be a hazard.
It'd be a paper cut waiting to happen.
It's a great piece of kit, actually. I'm not using a MacBook Air myself, but I know someone very close to me who is and who loves it. And very lightweight. I think just one of the big benefits is the solid state drive as well. So everything, you know, just works that much faster. It boots up really quickly, wakes almost instantly from sleep. And it's just fast and quiet.
Now, the other thing I've chosen is the Kindle. Now, we talked about this earlier, Leonie. I know you can't use the Kindle or you don't enjoy the Kindle. For me, though, it has been a real game changer because, you know, one thing I love doing is reading books, and, you know, I enjoyed reading them when I was at school because I could always get large print books at school. But, you know, I don't have the ability or the strength to carry them about. The Kindle is ideal for me because it allows me the ability to, you know, take my books with me and read them in large print. And, you know, for partially sighted people, I would say this is something that if you haven't checked it out yet, check it out.
Yeah, we'll ask a couple of questions about both pieces of technology, Stephen, because the MacBook Air, I was about to buy one, and I kept on trying to touch the screen and pinch the screen because I'm so used to using an iPad. And so I'm debating whether I get a laptop and what I need a new computer. And could you explain how, say, someone who is just used, like me, who's used to using an iPad, who at the moment is using a Mac Mini, how the journey would be to using using an Air, and what the benefits of an Air would be, say, over getting a different laptop.
If you have got a Mac Mini at the moment and you're thinking about going ahead with a MacBook, there's a couple of things you can do to almost get yourself into the process, and that is to perhaps get yourself a trackpad, the Magic Trackpad it's called, which effectively is what the Mac uses as its own trackpad inside its laptops, inside the MacBook Air and the MacBook Pro. And that'll give you an idea of how that integrates with the screen in a very similar way to how you deal with the iPad. You can pinch to zoom, you can, you know, do all the gestures that you would do on your MacBook Air using the trackpad rather than the screen. And that's how it works. And, you know, I'm thinking maybe you want to save yourself some cash, instead of going out and spending a fortune on a MacBook Air and then saying, I wish I hadn't done that, get yourself either a loan of a trackpad, or buy one. And
but is that the same kind of thing that's on the other MacBooks that as well?
Yeah.
Thank you. But the other thing also I want to ask about the Kindle, because I use audiobooks, Audible. See, the reason I like to use them is I put them on double speed so I can read a book really quickly, because I talk really quickly, as you know. And I don't like, when I listen to a book, if it's on a regular speed, it's too slow. I think also because I'm used to using a screen reader. So I find when I'm listening to books at normal speed, it agitates me. I get, you know, because I'm used to using VoiceOver quite a high verbosity. So I now have to listen to audiobooks at double speed. It's bizarre.
Wow.
But so how does that compare to, say, using an iPhone or iPod Touch is the Kindle a reader in terms of a text reader, or is it an audiobook reader? Sorry, I'm that stupid because
Well, I think I'll throw that one to Robin.
So I must confess, personally, I haven't used Audible books on the Kindle. I've really only used printed books and used, you know, large fonts. So I'm probably not the best person to answer that. But yeah, I know what you mean about wanting to listen to stuff faster and that being important. Because I tend to speed things up as well.
I think you can listen to audiobooks. I'm not sure about Audible formats, but MP3 and things like that on the Kindle. Or you can get it to use, you know, text-to-speech, like a screen reader voice, to read a print book, if that makes sense. As well as, obviously, increase the font size and read it, you know, for yourself.
I think the problem is that Sandy wants it to be read by the chipmunks, quite frankly. I think that's what she's looking for.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, guys, it's been great talking to you all today, and I thoroughly enjoyed our discussion on all of our gadgets that we are in love with. For the moment, I want to thank Robin Spinks, Sandy Wasmer and Leonie Watson. We'll be back in just a moment to just have some final comments. But before that, here's the Tech Talk news.
starting off with some business news. Sight and Sound Technology, the UK's leading provider of assistive solutions for the blind, visually impaired and those with learning and reading difficulties, have announced they have acquired the Force 10 Company Limited. The merger will mean Sight and Sound Technology will have closer links with Freedom Scientific, makers of Dual Software, and Cambium, makers of Kurzweil Software. The RNIB are looking for young people to get involved in the charity. The New Persons blog will be launched at the end of March, and they're keen for you to get in touch and tell them about whatever issues are important to you as visually impaired people. Gareth Karoke is from the RNIB. He says that any 18 to 13-year-old is welcome to take part and that all views are welcome.
We're going to have views that are supportive of RNIB, I hope, but also views that are critical of RNIB that say you need to be doing more of this. You need to be concentrating much more on bringing out the young person's voice in what you do. And I hope that we do have pieces that are like that because, you know, we're one of the reasons we're doing this is we want to reflect what young blind and partially sighted people want from us much more. And we need those, we need to be told that sort of stuff. And this is one of the ways, not the only way, but one of the ways that we're looking to do that.
A cinema in Morocco is leading the way in providing audio description for blind and partially sighted people. The theatre in the city of Marrakesh is fully equipped with seats containing headphones, allowing visually impaired people to hear an additional audio track that plays alongside the film, filling in the detail of action on screen. The purpose of the service was to move away from the days of volunteer narrators, standing up in the cinema and doing their best to describe what is happening on the silver screen, but often talking over the crucial dialogue. An issue with iBooks on the iPad has left a member of RNIB unable to read their favourite stories. The charity's digital accessibility team was contacted by someone who bought the Apple device especially to read books in large print. The woman used the Verdana Sans Serif font in iBooks, set to a font size she estimated at being 16 or 18 point. Since the iBooks update in early December, the woman has been unable to read because the Verdana font was replaced with another Sans Serif font called Saravec, which isn't as good in her opinion, and also because the font sizes for this jump from about 14 to 24. The team are keen to hear from you if you have had a similar problem or wish to comment on the latest iBooks update. If so, email your comments to digitalaccess@rnib.org.uk. Alternatively, get in touch with Apple. Email accessibility@apple.com. And finally, a few dates for your diary. The ever-popular Phone Watch events run by RNIB continues with another event at Judd Street on the 21st of February. It's an event that showcases the latest mainstream smartphones with talks from experts, hands-on demos and hands-on time too. It's for anyone who is blind or partially sighted who might be interested in learning about new devices. It's also a great social event too. For more details, contact Andrew Ronskley on 0207 391 2191. The latest Technology for Life event, run jointly by the RNIB and Action for Blind People, takes place on the 22nd of February at the GHS Centre in South Meadow Lane in Preston from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. For more details, contact Alison on 01772 320 550 or email actionnorthwest@actionforblindpeople.org.uk. The Technology for Life event continues next day, the 23rd of February, at the Thomas Centre in Ardwick Green North in Manchester, again from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And again, you can call Alison on 01772 320 550 or email actionnorthwest@actionforblindpeople.org.uk. If you're into technology and fancy a breakaway, why not visit CSUN in San Diego on the 29th of February to the 2nd of March. CSUN is the 27th annual International Technology and Persons with Disability Conference. For more details, contact Sally Kane on 0121-665-4226. And don't forget, all the details of these events are on our Tech Talk mini site, www.insightradio.co.uk.
And that's Tech Talk News. Now, still with us, Robin Spinks, Sandy Wasmer and Leonie Watson for another few minutes. And just to round up the show, thanks, first of all, guys, for taking part. It's been a really good show for the first one. Now, you guys are all heading off, you'll be leaving me, and going off to San Diego for a little event known as CSUN.
So CSUN is the California State University Northbridge annual conference for persons with disabilities, and it's looking specifically at assistive technology and the role that it can play in enabling people to be more independent and live happier and more fulfilled lives. So all things technology, all things digital, it's a massively popular event among people who work in the accessibility community. And I think I'd probably be right in saying that it's kind of the highlight of many people's event calendars. A whole series of conference presentations, workshops, seminars, and lots of industry meetings around it as well. So it's going to be an incredibly busy week, in fact. It tends to just be CSUN and then sleeping and a bit of catching up with people in between.
Sandy, why are you heading off there?
Well, I'm going to be on a panel at an event on the, I think it's Tuesday, the 28th of February, which is the AIA Forum, Accessibility Interoperability Association. And the subject for the entire day is about mainstreaming accessibility and whether or not there's a need for a professional body around accessibility of ICT in general. And I'm on a panel talking about education for engineers, designers, and developers, and that sort of thing. So it should be quite an interesting day. So it's sort of alongside the CSUN conference. It's not officially part of it, but it's in the same place and the same time. So I'll be going to CSUN after that. So I'll be staying for the week.
Okay. And Leonie, as I get more despondent as I ask this question, why are you going?
I'm giving a presentation and I'm on a couple of panels, but actually I'd be going anyway. When I went last year for the first time, it was just the most extraordinary place to be. You know, we had situations where people were presenting solutions to accessibility challenges on the web. And, you know, in a presentation, we'd have somebody saying, well, it works really well on my, you know, iPad, but somebody else would say, oh, it doesn't kind of work too well on my, you know, Chromebook. And then somebody would be like, but the guys from Google are like two doors down. Let's go grab them and see if we can find out how to fix this. And you just got this brilliant kind of alchemy of people who really just get accessibility, have the capability to kind of make things happen and change stuff. And it's just a real kind of brilliant vibe there, you know, around the whole accessibility thing.
Well, it sounds like a brilliant event. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. And we will be looking back at CSUN here on Tech Talk. Probably not on the 28th when we're back on air here on Insight Radio, but probably the next programme, which is on the 13th of March, because that'll give us enough time to, you know, digest and give you guys enough time to get home as well. But we'll certainly all get back around the table again and have a chat about CSUN. I'm looking forward to that, because I'll be keen to find out about it and decide whether or not I should put some money in the piggy bank for next year to go along myself. For the moment, though, Robin Spinks, Sandy Wasmer and Leonie Watson, thanks for joining me on Tech Talk.
Thank you.
And just before I go, here's one to share. A video of a blind man who says he was refused use of a taxi because the driver would not allow his guide dog in the car is now trending on Twitter. Stevenage resident Sean Dilly and his guide dog Chip were at a local event before attempting to get home. Check out the video on our YouTube feed, which can be found through our Tech Talk home on the web. That's insideradio.co.uk. Search for Tech Talk. We're back in 2 weeks' time. But remember, you can listen to all of our features online, insightradio.co.uk. Well, that takes me back in time, let me tell you. Hope you enjoyed that. That was the very first Tech Talk we ever did. And we're still going strong. 5 years on. Thank you for your continued listening. And hope you continue to enjoy the programme, which, of course, is on air every Tuesday at 1 p.m. on RNIB Connect Radio and also on Audioboom, on iTunes and on a variety of podcast apps. Keep enjoying the show and keep getting in touch as well. It's your program as much as anyone else. So get in touch with your thoughts on tech you want to talk about. Tech Talk at rnib.org.uk.